Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Did you have a great week? Did the Lord use you in some way? That is my prayer for each of you as I'm away during the week and I'm involved in what God has me involved in, and He has you involved in things too. And as I was driving here this morning, I was reflecting on a passage of Scripture where it says in Acts chapter 2, where the church is just growing rapidly, and it says that God added to the church daily. And I asked myself the question, how does He add to the church daily if they're not meeting daily? They weren't in church every day, right? It's because He sent them out into the marketplace, and wherever God planted them, they were ministering. They were sharing the faith, and people were coming to Christ in all ways, in all walks of life, everywhere. And then they would gather together. And so I'm glad this morning that you made a decision to come here. Because you had to think about that, didn't you? You had to think through coming here. And if there's anything in my life where God is teaching me, He is teaching me something about the power of thoughts. Have you ever thought about a thought? Research says that we think 30 to 50,000 thoughts a day. The Bible says bring every one of those captive to Christ. Now that's quite a task, is it not? And so a thought is very powerful. A thought is like a rudder to a boat. A thought is like the sail of the boat. When your thoughts get caught by the power of the Holy Spirit, God can take you to places that you never dreamed possible. A thought is like gas to a car. A thought is like my glasses to my eyes. It helps me to see because I see through those thoughts. It helps me to perceive things and understand what's really going on. And so you're thinking, and you're even thinking right now. And so where Paul gets us in the book of Ephesians, and it's the most amazing section, he gets us to focus upon the mind. And he takes us into the interior of your thoughts. And then a question I had in my mind was, have you ever tried to see a thought? Do you know what a thought looks like? Well, on the screen here, I don't know if you can really see this, but on the left-hand side, which is my right-hand side, on the left-hand side is a thought. And it's translated, your thoughts are translated into your brain as a neuron. Now, that neuron has a kind of a large bulb-like thing right there, and that is actually your thought. And then as it branches off up above, you see all the little branches that branch out? Those are called dendrites. That is where your memories exist in your brain, in your physical brain. This is current brain research. And so this side has a healthy thought, and they've even looked at thoughts like anger and unforgiveness and hostility and all those different kinds of things. And they took a snapshot of that thought over here, the unhealthy thought, unforgiveness, and that's what it looks like in your brain. You can see that it's not quite as healthy looking, not quite as plump a thought. And some of the branches are withering and they're fading. And there's kind of blotches on there because it hinders you from creating new thoughts, new memories. And this is actually in your physical brain, that little brain you carry around. And all of us have a little brain inside your head. It weighs about 2 to 3 pounds. And as you think, this is really amazing to me, as you think, you are transcribing your physical brain with these neurons. And so as we accept Christ, we're set free from the power of sin. However, some of those patterns remain in your physical brain. And you can feel your thought. You ever think about that? You can actually feel your thoughts. Think about what's coming this afternoon. Do you have something really neat you're expecting this afternoon? Do you have something that you're anticipating? Has someone given you a compliment lately? Think about that compliment. How does that make you feel? You are feeling your thought. And Jesus knew the power of thoughts. In Mark chapter 5, very briefly, we see a story here. Jesus knew the power of thoughts. And He confronted a man who was possessed and he was demonized with well over, perhaps, thousands of demons. Because when Jesus said, "What's your name?" he said, "The Legion." And so he casts out those demons, and what does he do? He sends them out into the pigs, right? He sends them out into the pigs, they run over the cliff, they run down, and they drown. Symbolic of demons being cast into the abyss, their destiny. And so this man was demonized, and the surrounding community heard about this. So in verse 15, it's the conclusion of the story. Then they came to Jesus, and the one who had been demonized and had the legion, he was sitting, he was attentive, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. He was in his right mind. He was in a mind that was acceptable to God. Isaiah says that the mind stayed upon him, God will keep in perfect peace because you trust in the Lord. Now the word repentance. You know what that word really means? In the original Greek, what does it mean? It means a change of the mind, a turning of the mind. It doesn't mean a change of behavior, but yes, that is what happens. There is a change of behavior. But you change your thinking. You change your thoughts about a particular situation, and that changes your behavior. And so thoughts are incredibly powerful. Tom Newberry wrote a book called The 4-8 Principle. And this is what he says. We spend very little time thinking about what we're thinking about. Unfortunately, most people struggle to change or renew their circumstances when they should be asking God to help them renew their minds. When our minds are renewed, circumstances, they take care of themselves. He goes on to say, when you think a limiting thought without challenging it, your mind buys into it. To counteract this, remind yourself that negative thoughts, they don't come from God. If a thought brings you worry, fear, fatigue, it's not from God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, in a book, Who Switched Off My Brain, says this, as you think, your thoughts are activated, which in turn activates your attitude, because your attitude is all of your thoughts put together, and they reflect your state of mind. Then she goes on to say, buried feelings of anger, fear, anxiety, bitterness create volcanic buildups in your body. When you internalize wounded emotions, you allow a seething mix of anger, hostility, and resentment to develop. For this reason, hostility and rage are at the top list of toxic emotions. And we're going to see that those emotions are at the top list of the Apostle Paul because they're at the top list of God Himself that He wants to transform and completely, totally change. They can produce real physiological reactions in the body and cause serious mental and physical illness. On the other hand, forgiveness is a choice. As you act of your free will, it enables you to release all those toxic thoughts of anger, resentment, bitterness, shame, grief, regret, guilt, and hate. These emotions hold your mind in a nasty, vice-like grip. As long as these unhealthy, toxic thoughts dominate your mind, you will not be able to grow healthy, new thoughts and memories. And that's from recent brain research. Now, the Apostle Paul, and where we're going to be, is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 5, 7. It's a large chunk of Scripture, but what the Apostle Paul is going to do for us, underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he is writing, he takes us into the interior of the mind, and he begins to detail the transformation, and he shows us that we have an old mind, and there's a new mind, and that we have new ways based upon the new mind. And so he begins in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4, and he says, I say therefore and testify in the Lord. He testifies in the Lord. That phrase, testify in the Lord, is the idea that he has the authority of Jesus Christ to say what he's going to say next. And he says, I say, therefore. Therefore is therefore because of what he said prior to that. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the church. And he just told us that we have victory in Christ, that he's given us gifts, that we need to apply in the church. Each of you has a gift that he wants you to use in the church, and you grow and you mature. But now Paul's going to say, don't do this in the energy of your flesh because you are at risk in that way. And he says, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Their mind was void. void of God, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They're callous toward God. They're numb toward God. Now, how do you get a callous? A callous comes through lots of resistance, right? And it hardens that part of your skin, and you become callous. And these people were constantly resisting God, and they became callous, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So they were completely and totally self-centered. And they just wanted more and more and more. It reminds you of Romans chapter 1, where Paul says, I gave them over to vile passions and a debased mind. But he says, you haven't learned Jesus this way. This isn't how you have been taught Christ. Indeed, if you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Truth in Jesus, there's a colon after that. So what happens next is incredibly important. They're like bullet point statements. And he goes on to say this, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The old man continuously corrodes. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, you now have the ability and the power, because your will has been freed, to put off the old man. And Paul says in Romans 6:6, know this, that your old man has been crucified, so that the power of sin might be rendered inoperative, and you're no longer enslaved, and he who has died has been freed from the power of sin. So consider yourself as well to be alive to God but dead to sin. It's the old man. It's those old ways that kind of linger on. You can now put them off. You now have the power because your free will, your will has now been freed in the power of the cross of Christ. But they still linger. And so you have to bring every thought captive. Every thought that comes into your mind, you have to bring it captive and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the realm of your thoughts, to be renovated in the realm of your thinking. It's kind of like having an extreme makeover. How many of you watch that show? Extreme Makeover, the show. What do they do first? They tear down the old structures, right? They tear down those old structures and they send the family away to be renewed, right? On a vacation. And they tear down that old structure and they rebuild a whole new thing. And then they have the bus and everybody's waiting for the phrase, what? Move that bus. And so they move the bus, right? They move the bus and they're jumping, they're hollering, they're yelling. It's like a worship time. And they go into the house and they begin to behave differently because they have a new structure. You see, we have a new structure as well. Jesus Christ. Paul says you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make any provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You have a whole new structure, a whole new pattern that you put on to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And it's the spirit of your mind that you're being renewed. It's the Holy Spirit working with your born-again spirit that begins to work on your mind, on your thoughts, as you bring those into captivity to Christ. And you begin to see things totally, completely different. And he says, you put off this one thing, and you put on the new man, or the new mind, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, a condition acceptable to God. Purity, holiness, separated unto God and separated from the power of sin, those old ways that linger on. Recently, I went to Walmart to have a battery changed in my watch. And they were taking the back of my watch off, and she slipped, and she broke my watch. And I'm watching all this. And she was very apologetic. And so I got to pick out a new watch. So I went to Walmart to get a battery, came away with a new watch. That was pretty amazing. Now what I did 10 years ago, I took my watch that I wear on my left hand, I put it on my right hand. Because they say it takes 21 days to break a habit. So I wanted to see if that was true. And it took about 21 days for me to stop looking here to go to here. So I decided when I got my new watch, I'd put it back on my left hand. And you know what I discovered? It's much easier for me to go back to my left hand because of the patterns that were there from many years ago are still there. And that's like your flesh. That's like the old man. The patterns are still there. And you'll have a temptation. You'll have a tendency to kind of look over here. Take a peek. But you now have the power in Christ. Because of the cross, because of your death, burial, and resurrection in Christ, you can say, you can look, you can say no, and you can go back this way and put on the new mind, the new man, and walk free in Christ. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so then he goes on, and he details the transformation. And he takes us down into the interior of our mind, and he begins to kind of nitpick at certain things that we all struggle with here. And he says, therefore, put away lying and put on honesty. Isn't that awesome? So, I want to ask you to raise hands, but I'm sure we have liars out there. Take that stuff off. Put on honesty. Risk being honest. Isn't that awesome? Risk being honest. Because you know what? God will honor that in very special ways. He really will. Let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Be angry, but don't sin. Now God says, okay, you can be angry. Don't sin. There are three different kinds of anger. There's righteous anger, which is anger when you see sin harming and hindering the will of God. Jesus expressed righteous anger, right? He went into the temple. He expressed that anger. God himself gets angry at habitual, continuous sin. And then there's the anger that's kind of just seething anger. It's just kind of always there. Kind of part of your personality. Then there's the explosive anger, where some of you out there are exploders. You just explode when your will is being thwarted. Paul says, don't do that, because you know what? You give a place to the enemy. That guy in the tombs, he was demonized. We don't know what brought him there. We don't know his history. But he was very strong, and he was a very angry kind of person. He was cutting himself, trying to destroy himself. And don't give place to the devil. Anger is like stew to him. It attracts him. So put it off. My parents, last night, they had their 60th wedding anniversary. And we all went to Cookeville, where they live. And somebody asked him a question. Tell us about some of the things that you've done over the years that you've lasted 60 years. And one of the things my dad said, he said, we never went to bed angry at each other. I had never heard that before. And I was sitting there going, wow. Can I say that? Can you say that? It's powerful. It's what God says. And then he deals with stealing. Don't steal anymore, but labor, work with your hands so you have something to give. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, a filthy mouth, a filthy language, but speak things that build others up so it will impart grace to the hearers. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve a holy and righteous God. Be in awe of Him. He sealed you until the day of redemption, when you'll be given a brand new body. Don't grieve Him. Be careful with your speech. It reflects your heart. Put that off. And then he focuses on unforgiveness. Let all bitterness, hate, wrath, which is that explosive kind of anger. He says anger, which is that subtle, seething anger. Clamor is loud quarreling. Evil speaking, tearing others down. Put it all away from you with all malice, a desire to harm other people. And instead, put on and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, compassionate, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And it's like the portrait of Jesus. It's the essence of the walk with God. Because then what does he say? Therefore, because of all of this, imitate God. Be imitators of God as dear children. And I read that and I began to ask myself the question, do I imitate God in my life, in my thinking, in my attitudes? Am I an imitator of God? That is such a high call for the church, to be imitators of God. Because that is what our society is looking for. They are looking for a body of people who imitate God. And we see God when we are honest. We see God when we disagree and we get angry at things, but we forgive one another and we put those things aside. We see God. We begin to imitate God on earth. And that's how God set this up. And that's His call to you today. It's a clarion call. It's a call to the church to begin to imitate God in a culture that is so anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-everything that we believe. And it's time for us to stand up and to get serious about this and say, I'm going to imitate God today. In my workplace, I'm going to imitate God. In my marriage, I'm going to imitate God. With my kids, I'm going to imitate God. In my church, I'm going to imitate God. And then he goes on and he says, as dear children, walk in love. Walk in love is the idea of making progress. Are you making progress in loving people? That's probably one of the hardest areas, I think, in anyone's life, in my life, is to be that loving instrument of God. Because I have to sacrifice, I have to die to myself in so many different ways so that God's love, sacrificial love, can begin to flow through me. And it's the call to the church. He's speaking to the church. As Christ has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Do you want to smell good to God? Then imitate Him, His Son, who died for you. He shed His blood for you. And when you look at the cross, what you see is the love of God. He took your sin so that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ. There was an exchange there. His life becomes your life. What a glorious exchange. Because we've been set free. And God is continuously renewing your thinking, your mind. He's even doing that this very hour as you're looking upon His Word, you're thinking His thoughts. He is in the process of renewing your mind. Changing things, helping you to understand that, yes, whatever that besetting sin is in your life, you've been set free from the power of it, even though it still lingers. And so now you don't have to look here. You can go back and you can look here now. You are free to do that in Christ. That's the power of the cross. That's what Paul is saying here. He's speaking it to the church. And then he goes on to say, and he reminds us again, we need to be reminded all the time, but fornication, all kinds of sexual immorality, uncleanness, covetousness, wanting more and more and more of something, it's not fitting for the saints. Neither is filthiness, obscenity, foolish talking, coarse jesting, which is kind of forms of low humor, are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. Don't let anyone tell you, oh no, that's not true. God will overlook that. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, those that resist Him. And don't be partakers. Don't be partakers in their lifestyle. Sure, we have to love them, witness to them, pray for them. Meet their needs so they begin to see God. Imitate God before their lives. But don't become entangled in them, with them. And it's all in the process of renewing your mind. And it's a 24/7 thing. And it takes practice. It's not something that just happens. So how do you renew your mind? If you say today, I'm going to start renewing my mind today, what is it that you would do? Well, the first thing, and I've listed five things, and I didn't number them because it's not a formula. It's a lifestyle. And the first thing is Galatians 5:14, where it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That word crucified is a very interesting word. It's past tense, but it has an active voice, which means you are responsible to do something with what happened in the past. So what happened in the past, you at the cross, has existing power in the present. So in that sneaky little thought, comes up, curls up around behind you. You have a responsibility to take that thought captive to Christ and realize that the power of that sin has been broken. And then Paul says in Philippians, he says in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you have to take personal responsibility. Realize you live crucified day by day by faith. It's by faith, day by day, crucified by faith, moment by moment, second by second, and take personal responsibility for your thinking. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But as you do that, you will find that it's God in you helping you to do that, to work that out through you. The Apostle Paul is so amazing. He'll say one thing, yeah, you're responsible, but then he'll go on the flip side of that and say, nope, you're going to see God working through you. Well, which one is it? It's both. They're both true. That's the supernatural aspect of it. And then you present yourself to Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You present yourself to Him. I beseech you, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your thoughts. It impacts the health of the church as we go to God and ask Him to give us His perspective on everything that we are going to do so we have the mind of Christ. Paul says, you have the mind of Christ. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of God fills your spirit, influences your thinking, and you make a choice by your will, to take action and results in how you feel. And it affects everything we do in the church. Everything. Every time that you get together in a committee meeting, we should be seeking the mind of Christ before we do anything. We should be allowing Him to renew our thoughts so we're thinking His mind, thinking His thoughts, thinking His ways. Allowing Him to demolish strongholds in the church that are preventing His Holy Spirit from working effectively in you, in us, in the culture. And so we present ourselves a living sacrifice. And to be renewed in your mind, then you can discern what God's will is, what God's thoughts are. And then you take captive every thought. Before you do that, you think on things above. In Philippians 4:8, gives you a grid for you to think through. Okay? Here's your thoughts. Satan has just shot a thought at you, and he can do that. Or your flesh from the past shoots a thought at you. Can do that. And you ask yourself the question, is it true? Is it true? If it's not true, eject it. Don't let it become a part of who you are, because that's not who you are. Who you are is who you are in Christ. And then you ask yourself this, is it noble? That word is the idea of honest. Is that thought honest? If it's not, reject it. Because you've just detected either the flesh or the enemy operating in your mind. And his goal is to control your life. And he will set up strongholds of thoughts in your mind to control your behavior, to keep you addicted to something. And those strongholds need to be torn down by the power of God and the cross of Christ. Then you ask yourself this, is it just? How does it align with God's divine laws? How does it align with Scripture? Is it just? Whatever things are pure, is there any carnality in it? Is it fleshy? Is it some kind of an impure thought? If it is, if you say yes, eject it. It's not from God. The world can do this. Look how the world attempts to manipulate your mind. Watching TV, your mind is on mind manipulation and steroids. All the stuff that is bombarding us continuously through the internet, through the television, through all kinds of avenues now, where Satan has set up his kingdom to control your mind. Whatever things are lovely, acceptable, and pleasing to God, if that thought is not acceptable and pleasing to God, eject it. Stiff arm that thing. And this is something I'm beginning to practice in my own life. This is not something that just happens. You have responsibility for it. You take responsibility for it. And as you begin to practice this, you'll see changes in how you feel about life in general. Because your thoughts, you feel your thoughts. And you begin to lay down new, believe it or not, new neurons in your physical brain. That's what blows me away. That is documented scientific research. You see, God knew what he was talking about here, that you need your mind renovated. Science never contradicts the Bible. Anything that's good report, positive of the future, if there's something that's positive for the future, if it's negative, if it's a negative report about the future, eject it. Any virtue, moral goodness, if there's anything praiseworthy, commendable, what does Paul say here? Meditate upon these things. Think on these things. Set your mind upon things of heaven, not on things of the earth. And then the last thing, and again, these are not steps. This is a lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 10 says we walk in the flesh. We don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that word pulling down is the idea of demolition. It's the idea of destroying strongholds, which are castles of thought in your mind that hinder you from operating to the maximum level that God designed you to be. And you bring those thoughts in, like unforgiveness. You know, when you think a thought of unforgiveness, what are some of the memory branches that surfaces in your mind? Do you have pockets of unforgiveness in your life that God wants to deal with so that you can be free to think clearly and to hear from Him clearly? The mind of God. Casting down arguments. Ways of thinking that determine behavior. Or a high thing, it's an obstacle that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, every mental perception into the captivity and the obedience of Christ. It's bringing every thought into the submission and the compliance of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience. And here's the key, being ready to be a good warrior, punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You first. And then you can step into the battle and help someone else fight. Help someone else with an issue in their life. You know, Jesus, I think, said we should take the beam out of our own eye so we can help get the speck out of my brother. Take care of your own mind. Take responsibility for your own thinking. Because it affects the body of Christ. So as we come to this time of decision, of invitation, I never know what God is doing in your life. The thoughts that He's brought to you as you focused upon His Word. But if you'd like to start today to renew your mind, I would invite you to come. Or maybe you've never had a point in your life where you've had a change of mind, repentance as to who Jesus is. Really is. That He died for you. And that He loves you deeply. On a cross, and He shed His blood. And His death has given us so much. Much more than I am even able to communicate to you. There is so much He has done for all of us. And He should be drawing each of us into His presence. And we should worship Him and love Him and allow His life to work through you to imitate God so that people begin to see Jesus among us. That's what He wants. He wants to see Jesus in His body. Jesus, who's broken at the cross. He was naked, exposed, vulnerable. And He did it for you. So you could put off and put something else on that displays who God is. To a broken and a dying world that needs to see Him desperately. Desperately. And He's calling you. He's calling this place out. I really believe that. I really believe God wants to do a work here that none of us understand yet. He's just planting seeds. and they're going to start to grow. And you're going to see something really special that you've never seen before. I really think God's going to do that. But it's going to begin in your heart. It's going to begin in your mind. That's where it will start. It will begin as you make decisions for Him, one at a time. Because that's how He works, one-on-one, one at a time. So I would encourage you, if you need to come here for prayer, you come. We'll pray with you. Father, we love You, Jesus. And Lord, we thank You for just speaking to us. And forgive me if I in any way hindered what You want to do here. But we lift our lives to You, and we give them to You. We give our minds to You. And Father, we ask that You would open up more and more to us what the cross really means, and the power of the cross, and what it means to our daily life, just our daily living. That You're there 24/7. There's never a time You leave us, and there's never a time that You forsake us. You're there always, speaking a good word, honest with us. You never get wrathfully angry at us. You discipline us. You convict us. You forgive us. You're kind to us. You're compassionate to us. Father, may those qualities of Your character manifest themselves in us and in Your church and the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.